talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Oh, I know you've been waiting for this one.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I am the crazy accordion lady. This is my song.
Modern life. Where are we running? Sometimes what we want is not always where we are. Are we alone? Is the real winter inside our hearts? We're all struggling for definition in a world that resists our inquiries.
It's a travesty of a mockery of a sham, of a mockery of a travesty of two mockeries of a sham.
And now,
he's shaking, it kind of makes me nervous.
It's cold outside.
Yeah, it's cold?
Yeah.
What's this right here?
That's my penis.
That's your penis.
All right.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that.
Our feature presentation.
Sorry about that. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Thursday morning.
I don't know that you expect "That's My Penis" to be something you hear throughout the day when you get up to go to work in the morning.
No, not usually.
What a curious job being a police officer. All right, party people, it is Thursday. Here's a new, if you're a gadget person, here's something you might like. I'm sort of interested in this because we all know how bad my memory is.
Sure. Wait, who are you?
It's a new product that has been financed through Kickstarter, as all technology apparently is these days. They started out asking for $75,000. People liked it so much, they've given them over $210,000 so far.
Wow.
To build a new product called the Momoto. The Momoto. It is a life blogging camera. It's a camera about the size of a postage stamp. You clip it onto your clothing or wear it like jewelry, and it snaps a photo every 30 seconds.
Huh.
And then it, with each snapshot, the camera captures a 5-megapixel image, the time it is taken and where, and then it is streamed to a companion website that is run by Momoto that has an algorithm that uses the picture GPS data and timestamp to intelligently sort into the albums into a timeline. So in other words, you now have a visual record of your entire life if you want it.
I don't want that. There's a lot of times I don't want a camera.
A photo every 30 seconds, though. So now you don't have to rely on where was that place or what did we eat or what did we do or who was there. Now you actually have a physical record. It would be like your brain now can record your life, which is fascinating, I think.
It is.
Especially for somebody like me who remembers nothing.
For somebody like you who remembers nothing and has nothing to hide except for the murders.
Right. Well, you can take it off.
I'm saying you go to Vegas, you take it off.
You put it in your pocket or whatever it is. Leave it in the suitcase, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
But a searchable and shareable photographic memory, it captures about 4 gigabytes of data per day, 1.5 terabytes of data per year, and then you've just got it up there on on a site that you could access with a password. What do you think about the idea, though? You think people will use something like this, and why? Why would somebody use something like this?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm intrigued because it's new technology I haven't heard of, but I'm trying to think what the practical application would be like. Who's the market for this product?
Well, it's clearly people like yourself and myself who something happened 3 weeks ago, and we can't remember a name, we can't remember what's going on,
right?
But I don't know who would use it for real. I mean, really put it on and use it every day and use the service and find.
I'm trying to think what kinds of things. I mean, I guess maybe it's just like it's like having a security camera on your house or something. Is in the event that something happens, you're kind of glad to have a record. But for the most part, you probably wouldn't need it.
It'd be a guy like Beer Mug. For example, he'll show up in a bush. He'll wake up in a bush.
How did I get here?
He'll be able to go back to the website and say, how did I get in the bush?
Yeah, that's true. I guess that's true. Or maybe it would be, seriously, she was hot. No, she wasn't. No, I'm telling you, she was really hot. I know you. She wasn't. All right, let's go to the tape. I mean, no matter what the dispute was, you could always go to the tape. You know, you tell tell your wife, no, I was in line at the supermarket forever. Honestly, I didn't go anywhere else after work. Go to the tape. You can prove it. You can show. There's a timestamp right there. Tells you. I mean, I guess in some way, you've kind of got evidence to back up whatever your claim is if it happened.
I don't think that would help people like me. I think that would hinder us.
Maybe so. Anyway, let me spell it for you in case you want to look it up for yourself, because I know there are people listening who have an idea of how to use this. It is M-E-M, like memory, O-T-O. Momoto is the name of the product. By the way, it's going to be $279.
and it's expected to start shipping and be available for sale in February of 2013. So right around the corner. So please enjoy.
Nobody will remember it by then, but
yeah, no kidding.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, please, God, can it come fast?
That's what she said. Carrie Fisher is going to be on the program today.
What? Princess Leia?
Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, we're gonna kidding me?
We're going to have to watch Bean, as he is the hugest Star Wars fan, and Princess Leia is his favorite character.
No, not at all.
Oh, man.
Not true.
Anyway, she's doing some comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, she's hilarious. She's written a bunch of books. She's written a bunch of movies. Very funny actress. Yeah, she's comedy is not new to her. Her stage performances are legendary.
No!
Remember that great moment when she was Princess Leia in that movie? Brad Pitt, Chanel number 5. Huh? What's up with that?
Yeah, they're getting their money's worth out of this commercial being dissected from people who go, what the F, Brad Pitt?
Funny man Bobby Slayton is going to be on the program today. And we have UFC heavyweight champ Junior Dos Santos in the studio.
Wow.
Talking about UFC 155, which I believe is December 30th.
This is how we're going to finally get rid of Beer Mug?
Hey. Just have him crushed.
Yep. Yeah.
Dr. Drew's going to be on the program.
All right.
But really all we care about is the new Wing song. Wing.
That's right.
If you've listened to the show at all, you know we love ourselves some Wing. She is a...
the best.
She's the worst, best singer you'll ever hear. And she's got a new song, and it's called Poker Face. Maybe you've heard of it.
She, by the way...
You're going to need to have heard of it because you won't recognize it from her.
She doesn't get any better, does she?
No, she gets worse.
Hallelujah.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
That's Christmas, right?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It's her cover of the legendary Leonard Cohen song. By the way, we're right around the corner from the season where we get to start playing Santa on a Helicopter, too.
That's true.
The Wing Classic. So we got a brand new Wing song for you. We're going to talk to the man who produced it, our friend Rappy McRapperson, on the program today. I'm very excited about that conversation.
That's coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the showbiz beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Oh, my God. They broke up. There's no more Foo Fighters.
Nope.
What are we going to do?
Just took a little break.
They're gone.
Nope. Still together. Just took a break.
Oh. Hey, Thursday morning, Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on today?
Oh, sad, sad news. They thought it would last forever, but Tina and Joe Simpson, parents to Jessica and Ashley Simpson, are calling it quits after 34 years of wedded bliss. Joe Simpson, of course, the dadager. That doesn't really work, does it?
No.
As well as momager.
Not.
Of Jessica Simpson. Here's the interesting part of the story. If you believe the National Enquirer.
They get it right more than not, I think.
They sure do now. After a few high-profile lawsuits, they really seem to dot their I's and cross their T's. But they claim that the reason for the split between Tina and Joe is that the former Baptist minister and manager of Ashley and Jessica is gay.
He's gay.
Word is Papa Joe gathered the family together 2 months ago and came out of the closet. And there's an amicable split between he and Tina, and they're going their separate ways. Now, the official statements claim that any other allegations are completely false regarding their split, which is officially discord or conflict of personalities, which is an actual reason in the state of Texas to get divorced.
But that's not it.
Well, that's a big umbrella. Discord or conflict of personalities?
Right.
That could mean anything. National Enquirer says it's because Joe has come out of the closet, but regardless, Jessica's going to eat now. Trust me.
Yeah.
Trust me. With her parents divorcing, forget about that Weight Watchers. It's going to be all Boston cream pie for a couple months.
He sure was a fan of his daughter's boobs for a gay man.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
That explains it a little.
That explains it a lot, Kevin, in my opinion. Yes. Because have you ever been around a gay guy when they're looking at other women? They're like, oh, my God, look at her boobs. Look at her body. She's fantastic. She's built. I mean, if you're ever around anybody who works in fashion or wardrobe in the entertainment business, they're all about the female shape, and they love to talk about it and comment on it.
Right, but this is his daughter.
Yes, exactly.
Still twisted.
If it's not sexual in any way, Kevin, it's the opposite of twisted.
Yeah, I see what
you're
saying.
It's him giving her the ultimate compliment, talking about how hot she is.
if he's gay and he can talk about how and he's talking about how hot his daughter is, it's perfectly legitimate. It's the most, it's the purest form of compliment about her appearance.
You know what gay guys also say?
Not even creepy.
You know what gay guys also say? Let me feel him. Did he do that? Creepy.
I don't know a lot of gay guys who want to feel boobs, but but I don't believe he ever said that about his daughter.
Well, this is an interesting story, and it's certainly not unheard of for somebody, even after decades of marriage, to have a sexual reawakening.
Sure.
And decide to come out. So
and
it's
if
possible,
it's the certainly. Case, I support him and wish him well. I mean, he is what he is, but I just thought it was the first thing I thought of when I heard it. Like, that explains to me all the comments he's made about his daughter's appearance, because it takes the sexuality out of them. And in reality, he was just saying, she's fabulous. She's spectacular. Excuse me.
So I could get away. There'd be no more creepy alerts if I were gay. All these things that I say that you guys bust me on, all of a sudden it
would
be
creepy.
Make
everything creepy as well.
And if you were gay, every male guest we had that came in, you would be all creepy about, like, so, what are those pants coming off in True Blood? See, we don't need to deal with that aspect of it either. So just stay where you are, for God's sakes. Donald Trump. Big bombshell yesterday. Everyone talking about it.
Oh, that was huge.
That information he dropped about the president that will change the election.
That knocked me off my feet.
Yeah.
So the president has dropped out now. He's not even going to try to run anymore.
Well, how
right?
can you?
You
when
can't.
A, when
you
a
can't.
Man offers you $5 million for your passport application. What?
Yeah, that's what happened yesterday.
Yesterday, Donald Trump said, if you give me your college application and your passport application, I will donate $5 million to your favorite charity.
So. Which, by the way, is nothing to Donald Trump. It'd be like me giving you 50 cents.
Yeah. Wait a minute. You're going to give me 50 cents? I love that guy. Yeah, it's just ridiculous on all levels, and no one's taking it seriously. And even the right has been bashing him in the press, saying, you know what? He doesn't really represent us. You know that clown over there? Pay no attention. We're serious over here. So
there's always people who embarrass the group.
However, would you like another election bomb?
No,
that was released yesterday. That everyone sort of lost in the light of Donald Trump's wacky shenanigans.
You got a new October surprise for us.
October surprise was dropped yesterday, according to Univision and several other sources. Mitt Romney spray tans.
Yay!
He spray tans. Fake.
That's so hot.
Fake.
Are you kidding me?
Faker. Faker. Fake baker.
Wow.
Candlestick maker.
This may be over.
I know.
Well, how can we trust him now?
How can we trust him if we can't even trust the color of his skin? You know one thing I know about Obama? Black. I know that much. He's honest with the color of his skin, at least. Yeah, this election is just getting ridiculous. Nuttier.
This is a dumb question because we've met the tanning mom, but there aren't a lot of 65-year-old men who are spray tanning, are there?
Probably not, no. I don't think so. Well, no, I don't think so. Unless you're in show business or politics. I can't imagine.
If you're in the public a lot.
That happens. Huh. Speaking of news that was lost amidst Donald Trump's announcement yesterday, I thought this was kind of funny. And I don't know. The cynical part of me says maybe it was all part of a plan.
Yeah.
But it might just be a coincidence. The thing about Donald Trump, the news about Donald Trump that no one really covered yesterday because of his goofy $5 million offer, was that, you know, Trump Place, his giant apartment building in New York City.
Right.
It's a giant condo complex, the greatest, most wonderful, most luxurious condo complex in the history of New York City.
It's hideous and gaudy and terrible.
Yeah. The Trump Organization, his company, was fired on Tuesday as the management company for Trump Place.
What?
The people who
for
live
his own building?
The people who live at Trump Place, the people, the condo homeowners association, got together and took a vote, and they think the building is being run so poorly for so long that they fired the Trump Organization from managing the company, and they brought in an outside management company to now manage that building. So in other words, they said to Donald Trump,
I've made my decision. You're fired.
That's what they said to him. He got fired from his own building.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Maybe. Now, that happened on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, he puts out this this goofy offer.
Take a sleight of hand. Look at me over here.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, what a public embarrassment to be fired from your own building by the people who live there, saying that you're an awful real estate management company. That's what he does. That's his business.
That is.
So, I don't know. Take it for what it's worth.
That's great.
But, yeah. He was fired. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Marion Ross. She played Mrs. C, Richie's mom on Happy Days. I guess she was Joni's mom, too. But
sure.
Joni's out there at a truck stop someplace servicing guy for spear money.
And who was the mystery son?
Chuck.
Chuck was only on for, what, like a season or two? Then he was gone.
Chuck was only on the first season, barely, and then they never talked about him again. I think Chuck went to Nam.
Where are you, Chuck?
Where are you, Chuck? We kept
indeed.
Asking.
Indeed.
Yes. Bob Knight, college basketball coach. Bobby Knight.
Chair thrower.
He's the best. 72 years old today. Nancy Cartwright, voice of Bart Simpson on The Simpsons, is 55 years old today. Bart Simpson is 55 years old.
Wow.
Chad Smith, drummer of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Also star of such movies as Kicking and Screaming.
Nope.
And most recently, The Candidate, of course.
Just
he was in with Zach Galifianakis.
That's his doppelganger.
Loved him in the Ricky Bobby movie as well. Super
two
talented guy. Drummer and actor, Ralph. Chad Smith, 51 years old. Actor Adam Goldberg from Saving Private Ryan and Entourage is 42. Zachary Knighton from Happy Endings is 34. Josh Henderson from Dallas and Desperate Housewives is 31. And singer Katy Perry celebrates her 28th birthday today. Say what you want about her, but she's still a good deal.
Agreed.
I think she's a good time. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Junior Dos Santos, UFC champion, joins us later on today's program. Also, Dr. Drew will be here. What are we going to do about Donald Trump? What?
Nothing.
Can't they revoke his citizenship and make him go live overseas?
That would be awesome.
Can't they do something? Well, New York owes America an apology for Donald Trump is the name of one article I read this morning. And then New Yorkers are pointing out, but he really spends most of his time in Florida. But once again, he has embarrassed the world by being the guy who called all that attention to himself for the big announcement that he promised would change the presidential election. He's got dirt on Obama that he will never recover from. And what was his announcement yesterday, Kevin? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was Donald Trump will give $5 million to charity. It wasn't even an announcement. It was just a challenge. $5 million to charity if President Obama releases his college records and his birth certificate.
Passport records, right?
Passport,
exactly.
Right, that's what I meant.
It had no new information at all whatsoever. So I don't know how this is anything other than a big, hey, look at me, and hey, what a big waste of the world's time. But we wanted to find out if maybe we just misunderstood. Donald Trump joins us once again here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Mr. Trump.
Boom.
I'm sorry?
Boom.
You're saying boom?
Boom. There
what is
I
that?
Go. Whoops, there I go.
What are you talking?
Unbelievable. Changed the election with this bomb I dropped on Obama.
There wasn't any bomb at all. You had no information whatsoever.
I dropped a bomb on him. That's right.
Okay.
I dropped a bomb on you.
Nope.
Obama. I dropped a bomb on you.
Hey, Donald.
$5 million. What?
A bomb would have been he cheated on his wife last year.
He probably did.
Proof. But I mean, you coming out with proof on that would have been a bomb.
Proof. Schmoof.
Or that he sold drugs. Or that even you had some evidence that he's not American. But you don't. All you did was ask the question for the billionth time.
Listen, I'm not Magnum PI, okay? I don't find the evidence, but I know what's going on. And that's why I offered $5 million to a charity of his choice if he releases pertinent information about his heritage.
That's not boom.
Boom.
No.
Change. The game changer.
It wasn't. Nothing changed except
Donald for... Donald Game Changer Chump, that they call me.
Chump, indeed, yes. Don't you notice that even none of your Republican friends are standing up and going, yeah, way to go, Donald. Good job. You got him.
That's because I believe they think I haven't gone in far enough.
Well, you haven't gone anywhere. So
what I'm going to do is I'm going to up the ante on my offer.
All right.
For $5 million to charity, he has to release his college application and also his passport application.
All right.
And by 5 o'clock... on October 31st, he has to bring me a bag of Razzles. I can't find that candy anywhere. I love that candy. Where did that go? Where do you get Razzles?
If you don't mind my saying, your first offer was ridiculous. This is you can't now ask for more.
Also, I want a Mookie Wilson rookie card. I want a rookie baseball card of Mookie Wilson.
Okay,
I love Mookie.
Right, but the president is not going to go on a scavenger hunt for your amusement. If you've got something pertinent to the election to say, go ahead and just say it.
Also, he has to bring me a pair of his underwear.
All right, let me just say this. He doesn't have...
Doctors or briefs. America needs to know.
He doesn't have to do any of that.
We're all very angry.
He's already the president.
Boxers or briefs. We need to know.
Donald, you have to stop it.
I also have an underprivileged child from the inner city of Chicago locked in a cargo container somewhere in Long Island Sound. Unless he brings me $5 million, I will kill that child.
So now it's kidnapping and threatened murder.
Whatever it takes. Look at me. I'm Donald Trump. Somebody look at me. Pay attention to me.
Do we ignore him or do we make fun of him? That's the only question.
Let's ignore him. Let's act like
he's
ignore
him. Hey, guys, I'm over here. Yeah.
That would hurt him. I guess he's not on the phone anymore, Kevin. I guess we lost him.
$5 million.
That would hurt him more if no one paid attention. Wouldn't it be great?
Me. God, please look at me.
Too bad Donald's not with us anymore. I would have liked to have talked to him some more on the radio.
Ignore me. I can't take it.
Got tickets to that new Denzel Washington, Don Cheadle movie, John Goodman, called Flight, coming up. Ralph will have those for you in a little while. Also, tickets to the 40th annual Halloween Haunt at Knott's Scary Farm, plus front-of-the-line passes for all 13 mazes. Good stuff coming up today here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I don't know why perfume ads have to be so nonsensical, but they seem to always be. I mean, maybe it's hard to describe a scent in a TV commercial. But
I think that's probably what it is. But it's – yeah, I guess that's what it is, because it's hard to describe a taste too, but at least you can show food that looks appealing.
Right.
You can't look at – I mean, a bottle of Chanel No. 5 just looks like a bucket of pee.
But right, but it's just – it's just such nonsense. And you look at it and you go, okay, I don't know what that meant, but I guess I should get that perfume.
Look, everybody's seen – most everyone's seen, if not the original Brad Pitt ad, the black and white commercial that started running a couple weeks ago, or some of the parodies of it, because it's all anybody's talking about right now in terms of perfume. I mean, I can't name another perfume that advertises right now. So Chanel No. 5, no matter how dumb their commercial is, at least now I'm thinking about Chanel No. 5 when I think about perfume.
Now, Brad Pitt's the first male to ever do a commercial for Chanel No. 5. Maybe that's why people are talking. He's one of the biggest stars in the world. I'm going to play the original. And then we have two new ones that you may not have heard yet, but this is the original. This is Chanel No. 5 with Brad Pitt, and what is he talking about?
It's not a journey. Every journey ends, but we go on. The world turns, and we turn with it. Plans disappear. Dreams take over. But wherever I go, there you are. My luck, my fate, my fortune. Chanel No. 5. Inevitable.
What?
Wait. Can you play the very beginning for me again?
Sure.
That first, like, couple lines?
It's not a journey. Every journey ends, but we go on.
Okay. What does that mean? Every journey
it's
ends,
not
but we
a
go
journey.
On. We don't,
Every,
but we don't go on.
We
it's
do
not,
go on.
It is a journey, and then we die.
You don't understand anything.
No, I really don't. What does that mean?
I'm not sure.
The world turns, and we turn with it.
All right, the world turns, and we turn with it.
Plans disappear. Dreams take over.
All right, I get that.
But wherever I go.
Okay, here's.
There you are.
Now, is he talking to the perfume? Is he talking to his superstar wife? Is he talking to a woman? What? Who is there?
I don't know. I do know, by the way, at least I read, if this is to be believed, that Mr. Pitt got $7 million for this commercial.
Because he was offered $5 and he said, what the F am I saying? I don't want
to
do it.
Wait, we won't explain it to you, but
right.
We can do it for $7. Yeah, for $7, I'll say anything.
My fate.
My luck, my fate.
My fortune.
My fortune.
Chanel No. 5. Inevitable.
What the F?
Yeah, I
Who's
don't know.
With me?
Millions of views online for that commercial. Everybody's talking about Chanel No. 5. I guess we'll just have to wait and see whether the sales go up. And you're telling me that this is not the only spot that Brad Pitt cut.
There's three. A lot of people don't know that. The first one was rolled out and everybody made a parody of it. But there are two more that you may not have heard. And we have them. So we'd like to debut for them now. Debut them for you now. Here's Brad Pitt for Chanel No. 5.
Midnight. My jealousy's climbed the bell tower to scream out and yell at the moon. Better feelings are sitting in the parlor, waiting for their turn. But bad knees keep them from climbing the ladder. When I get to the top, you're there, holding a snow cone. Chilly in hand, but warm in heart. Your baseball cap's on backwards. Time for a rally. Chanel No. 5. Perfume. Ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree with that last part.
That's the second one.
Snow cone? What? Baseball cap? Bell tower? What?
You want to the third?
I'm not sure.
I think you do.
Crossword puzzles. Not as difficult as Sudoku. 27 down. You. 38 across. Me. I always fill it out in pen. Never use pencils. Because the erasers are chewed off. What? Who eats rubber? But if you are rubber, and I am glue, what I say bounces off of you and sticks to me.
That's an old childhood.
Stickiness. My heart is made out of duct tape.
Okay, that...
Chanel now, number 5, perfume. Sticky.
Sticky, right? You're just rambling now, just making stuff up. Right?
Actually, I have a fourth. You want to hear it?
Oh, there's another one from Brad Pitt? Okay, sure.
I thought we only had three there.
The tomato isn't a vegetable. It's a fruit. It has seeds. That's how you can tell. I'd like to plant my seed in your garden of love.
Whoa!
Oh, hey.
But what will we use for fertilizer? Better test the soil. Better get you some irrigation pipes. How big is my farm? Not as big as my love. Will you take my tractor? I'd like to give you a plow. Why do you love the horse more than me? I'll be in the barn saying hello to the llama.
What?
Chanel number 5. Perfume. Smells like donkey ass.
Okay, now he's lost it. Hey, did you guys watch the World Series game last night?
No.
No.
It's baseball.
Did you follow Tim McCarver, baseball announcer's Alzheimer's moment? Did you hear about that?
No. Tell me if he's talking like me.
I'll tell it to you real fast, Ralph, because I don't want to eat up your time. But Barry Zito was having an unbelievable game last night. Just lights out. Kept the Tigers in check the whole time he was in the game last night. And the crowd starts, of course, the game is in San Francisco. Game 1 of the World Series against the Tigers. The crowd starts chanting, Barry, Barry, Barry. Mm-hmm. So our friend Jack Buck makes a reference to, wow, it's been a long time since we heard that chant here.
Joe Buck.
Obvious Joe Buck, right? What did I say, Jack?
Yeah.
His dad, yeah. So Joe, obvious reference to Barry Bonds, who used to play for the Giants. So Tim McCarver goes on about how, yeah, Barry Manilow used to play here at this ballpark. Barry Manilow was here for concerts.
What?
Barry Manilow, that's what they must be thinking
kidding.
Of.
He was kidding.
He's sad and old.
He was kidding.
Not really? At all.
There's no way he thought they were cheering for Barry Manilow.
Find the tape.
You find the tape.
That's what he said.
You're making the claim. We don't have to find the tape.
Donald Trump, why don't you find the tape?
It was extremely awkward.
I love it.
I'm sure it was a bad joke that no one laughed at, but I guarantee
Joe was like,
he was joking.
I think they used to say it for someone else, and McCarver says, yeah, when Barry Manilow was here playing concerts. So I don't know. If it was a joke, it wasn't clear that it was a joke. It looked like Grandpa needs to be put down is what it looked like. But if you were wondering why Barry Manilow was trending on your Twitter last night, that's why. It was because of that reference to the World Series. So I just thought that was a bizarre moment in sports. Right?
I hope he wasn't joking.
It's kind of sad,
we'll
right?
We'll find the tape and we'll play it. We'll break it
Gotta
down.
Find the tape, then we can decide. All right, 6:52, yeah. Thursday morning here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Forbes magazine, which until recently used to be a financial news magazine.
What is it now?
It's just a compilation of lists of how much money people make, apparently, because they released their top earning dead celebrities list.
All right.
It doesn't seem like every week they put out a list.
Every week they have a reason for a list, yeah.
Here is the top earning dead celebrities list. Here is your top 10 celebrities that are in the ground making buku bucks.
Michael Jackson.
Lindsay Lohan, number 10.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
Thought I hadn't heard the latest.
Oh, this wasn't supposed to be published till next week,
Ralph. That's right. This is a wish list. Steve McQueen. 10th on the list.
Still!
All right.
Which I find strange because I have never seen a Steve McQueen t-shirt.
I've never
seen a Steve McQueen poster. I've never seen a Steve McQueen baseball cap. I don't understand how $8 million was made on Steve McQueen's image and likeness and name last year.
Huh.
I don't get it.
Okay. He must, I'm only guessing, they must use him in a commercial overseas.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that's it. Something that we wouldn't see but still generates cash.
I'm a huge fan. I'd like to see more Steve McQueen merch and stuff out there, but I've never really come across any of it. This makes sense. Dr. Seuss, Theodore Geisel,
sure,
made $9 million over the past year. His books still sell, and of course he's got royalties coming in from the movie versions of Grinch and Cat in the Hat and stuff. Tie at number 7 between Marilyn Monroe and Albert Einstein.
Both sexy.
Yeah. Wonder if they ever did it. They each made $10 million for their respective estates.
Okay.
John Lennon, former Beatle, $12 million made him number 6.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, I think that's kind of low. I was surprised it was that low. Bob Marley bested John Lennon with $17 million over the past year.
Charles Schultz and his endlessly unfunny Peanuts characters. $37 million they
what?
Made.
$37 million on the Peanuts gang. Kids still loving when Lucy pulls that ball away from Charlie Brown.
Well, how much was the one below him making?
$17 million for Bob
34.
Marley. Jumped to $37 million for Charles Schultz.
Unbelievable.
From 5 to 4. Although people tell me that the Peanuts character is still very active with the Knott's Berry Farm.
Oh, right. Sure, yeah.
Apparently their presence is large there. And I think it's nice they opened up a theme park and dedicated to Don Knotts, because I think he didn't get enough acknowledgement when he was around. Why do they have a Mr. Furley ride? Do you think they have a Mr. Furley ride there?
That's a great reference, though.
Thank you.
File that.
Elvis Presley, third on the list. $55 million is what he made.
Wow. He was number one for a lot of years on this list,
wasn't he?
He
was. Michael Jackson, $145 million is number two this year.
Number
two.
Does that leave someone obvious?
Number one. Not really. Oh. Not in my opinion. Number one top earning dead celebrity. And it's only because there was a one-time auction over the past year that sold off this star's estate.
Oh.
Jewelry, clothing, that sort of thing. It brought in $184 million.
Got to be Liz.
Elizabeth Taylor.
Wow.
Number one on the list with $210 million.
Yeah, but what's she going to do next year?
Yeah. Now what are you going to do, Elizabeth Taylor? Now all your jewels have been sold.
Now what do you got?
Now
you
what
showed
do you
her.
Got? Lindsay Lohan plays her in a movie coming up soon.
That's true.
She's got that going for her. She must be miserable. Really? Lindsay Lohan's playing me? I'm Elizabeth Taylor. One of the great screen goddesses of all time. One of the biggest movie stars in history. Really? Lindsay Lohan? That's what you got?
Can't make her
happy. Scarlett Johansson couldn't step up? Nobody? You got me Lindsay Lohan? Yeah, sad news. Speaking of Lindsay Lohan, she stole $15,000 worth of wardrobe from the set of Scary Movie 5, according to the National Enquirer.
What?
Just helped herself to the wardrobe.
Just that's alleged.
Put it in her trunk and took it home. Sources tell the National Enquirer she felt entitled to the clothing for being in the movie. Producers, when notified, apparently just shrugged and said, well, it's the price of doing business with Lindsay Lohan. So,
really? Yeah, well, no wonder she thinks she can get away with
they
it.
They just wrote it off, said, oh, we're not going to go after her for it. It's ridiculous. Just let her have it.
$15,000 worth?
Yeah.
Wow.
What could they possibly be dressing in her in that would cost that much?
I don't know.
I don't either. While we're talking about clothing, fashion news, Penelope Cruz is starting a lingerie line.
All right. Okay. I'm in.
Whatever Penelope Cruz says to buy, you should buy it, lady.
Yeah! That's hot!
She and her sister Monica Cruz, who, by the way, looks identical to Penelope Cruz.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's a good-looking family. They are working together to create a label called La Agent. For Agent Provocateur, which is a high-end lingerie boutique. My wife likes stuff from there, so sometimes I'll go there for presents and stuff.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'd like that bra, please. Oh, is that $9 billion? Okay, here you go. Here's my credit card. It's insane what they're getting for little pieces of clothing in some of these stores.
Crazy expensive.
Not much clothing there at all.
Yeah.
Craziness. So good for Penelope Cruz. Hope she does well. Hey, I got something.
Yes.
I've got... Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I'm just reading here. We've got the Barry Manilow audio from what the story.
If you want it, I don't want to eat up your time. If you can save it for another.
It's certainly germane to our conversation since we spent a chunk of time talking about it in the beginning of the beat. Let's play it. Let's take a listen and see whether we think Tim McCarver has just lost his mind and thinks the crowd was chanting for Barry Manilow or whether he was making just an ill-advised joke that fell flat on last night's broadcast of the World Series.
That's a sound he has not heard in this park too often. The sound of Barry, Barry. They used to say it for somebody else around here. When Barry Manilow was playing in a concert, or Barry Bonds.
There you go.
Ooh, he laughed. He laughed at him like, wow, I made a mistake.
You think
he was joking?
Yeah. I think it was Joe. When Barry Manilow used to play here in concert, you don't think McCarver meant that?
No.
I mean, I hope not. I hope we haven't lost him.
Everyone talks about the famous Barry Manilow San Francisco concerts.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a shame.
It's not like the Beatles at Shea Stadium or something. It's not legendary.
No, it's not. Manilow, by the way, the research has been done. Manilow has played that part, though.
Yeah, but
I think he's just trying
He had to be joking.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you that, like I said, Twitter just exploded last night with everybody from, you know, Jim Rome on saying, what are you talking about, McCarver? Seriously, what's going on? You're losing it, dude.
Barry, Manilow. No, I'm done.
All right, so you guys think it was just a big joke?
I think it was a horrible joke.
I want it to be bad. Okay.
I don't think Tim's that addled yet. Celebrity birthdays. Marion Ross from Happy Days is 84 years old today. Nancy Cartwright, Bart Simpson on The Simpsons, is 55. Chad Smith from RHCP celebrates his 51st birthday. And Katy Perry celebrates her 28th. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You can pass on coffee this morning because the Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton, joins us in studio in about 15 minutes or so. Right now, though, very excited to welcome our friend Rappy McRapperson back to the show. Rappy, how are you?
Hey, how are you? I'm good. I appreciate that. Yeah.
We could not be happier to have new Wing music. As you know, we are the biggest Wing fans in the world besides yourself.
Now, Rappy's also a very successful artist in his own right, RappyMcRapperson.com. I could have said that better. But most of your songs are about, robots and diarrhea and stuff like that. How, refresh our memory. How did you, in fact, get hooked up with the beautiful songbird that is Wing a number of years ago?
Yeah, I emailed Wing. I emailed her and I said, how much would it take to get you in a studio? Because, you're the best in the world. And she sent me, she said, it's going to be, $500. I said, okay. And I don't have that. So we just set an amount. And then from there on, we just kept on working together.
Because she knew you were her meal ticket.
Exactly, yeah.
A superstar.
Yeah.
So you're not physically ever in a room with Wing, but you produce her from long distance, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Tell us about this new record. Wing's new album is called Television Radio Heroes. What do we know about it, Rappy?
This is Wing's thank you gift to the world, to the media, to your show, to media in general. And, she's just thanking you via song.
Oh, she's such a songbird, a little songbird. She's so beautiful. I've heard every song she's ever done, and yet this album is shocking.
It is. Wing don't give a hoot.
And it's badness.
Yeah, it's
shocking.
It's official. Hey, I love it.
Me too.
How old is Wing now? Do you know, Rappy?
She's 29, going on 30.
Yeah. Please.
More like 65, right? I mean, she's got to be close to that, right?
When was she born? I think she was born sometime 63, 64.
She's all right. What do you have from the album, Kevin? Prepared here a little bit.
I have the introduction.
Those are always great.
Wing introduces the CD, and she kind of tells you what you're in store for.
I've been moving back to Hong Kong. This upcoming album features collaborations with musical profession from Hawaii, Hong Kong, and Oakland. I hope you like all the songs I've chosen for you and take it as soon as it's on the market.
Yeah, we'll get it immediately because we love collaborations. All right, now she does a couple of Justin Bieber songs. We only have time to highlight some of them. Is Boyfriend his biggest song, Bean?
That's probably the biggest hit off this latest Believe album. What's Wing's relationship with pop music of the day? Does she listen to it and is a fan of it, or do you suggest songs for her to record, Rappy?
A little bit of both. She likes, she just, I don't know. I think she does most of the decisions with what songs she wants to cover.
Do you decide what key she sings them in? Because they're all way out of her range.
No, sir. No, Wing does everything. I just program the instruments that go on the MIDI files. I don't do much at all.
All right, so here's Wing. Again, a lot of world premiere happening here on the Kevin DeBean Show today. Doing a little bit of Justin Bieber's Boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
Yes?
Can I say to the people to bring to have a Kleenex ready? If anyone's driving in their car,
that's a good point.
A Kleenex ready. They'll cry tears of joy.
That's a good point. Here's Wing with Boyfriend.
If I was your boyfriend, never let you go. Keep you on my arm, girl, never be alone.
I like that she doesn't change the lyrics at all for the fact that she's a girl. I like that. If I was your boyfriend. So then she does Baby.
Oh, the other Bieber hit. All right.
Now, this one, Rappy, your head must have exploded when you heard how off she was with her babies.
Sure.
I mean, it's sure. just, it's unbelievable.
Baby, 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 oh, my baby.
Don't you at some point go, she's never heard this song?
No, she's never heard it before.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing.
It's nails on a chalkboard.
That's are you mean, what you mean is it's gold.
That's what I mean.
It's gold. It's going right to the top. That's the one.
Well, I don't know. We're pretty fond of Poker Face.
Sure, yes.
I think we're going to place a little extended clip of Poker Face. Just tell me when you want to stop, Bean.
Okay. All right, stop right there. Stop right there. You hear where Wing is in the song. She has a long way to go up in the register to be able to sing the next
yes.
part. Listen to how high she already is before she attempts to get to the chorus. This is going to blow your mind.
And after he been hooked, I play the one that on his heart.
Providing background vocals, Rappy?
No, just that one tune, you know, the church Oz, you know.
Right, right, right. Oh, I got you on the keyboard. Yeah. Now that's why we ask, like,
there it is.
Somebody has to be picking this song that's so out of her range. Why not bring it down, I don't know, 4 octaves to where she can sing naturally?
What? How does she hear Poker Face on the radio and go, yes, I can handle that one, Rappy?
I don't know.
It's magic. Don't you at some point just go, hey, anyone that's here, is this song too high for me?
All right, I think.
How do you want to get out at that point?
I think we've heard about
this
it.
This is G-O-L-D.
She also does.
I think she's trying to say Poker Face, by the way, just for the record.
She also does I Will Always Love You. She does Lana Del Rey's Born to Die on this. This is her 21st album, by the way. Her 21st.
I have all of them.
It's called Television Radio Heroes. Her website is wingmusic.co.nz, and Rappy McRapperson is available at rappymcrapperson.com. He does his own outstanding music and art and a whole bunch of other good stuff. Follow him on Twitter, at McRapperson. Rappy, we know we got you up early today, man. We appreciate you coming on. Congratulations on another great Wing project, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, guys. Much appreciated.
A job well done.
Junior Dos Santos talks UFC coming up at 8 o'clock. In fact, I think I'm going to step out now, Kevin, and just come back at 8 for Junior. Because Bobby Slayton's going to take over now for the next half hour. Ladies and gentlemen, the Pitbull of Comedy is here.
A half studio. Hour? I never get a half hour.
That's true. You don't.
That's why I talk so fast, because just when I get on an imaginary roll, you guys cut me off, you know?
Oh, I'm sorry. We're out of time, Bobby. Yeah, thanks a lot for stopping by. It's great to see you.
By the way, you know, I was just saying this off the air, and I say this every time I come on your show, that, you know, I go on the road and I play these horrible cities and these horrible towns, these chuckle huts, these comedy factories, these funny bones, and, you know, some of them are okay, but then you wind up in Peoria and Columbus, Ohio, and just some horrible cities. Dude, the most horrible morning radio, and you have to drive 45 minutes in traffic with some waiter who wants to be a comic who asks you questions about showbiz. And then you get there and you get the morning zoo and, you know, and coming to see you guys, I go to see Johnny Carson or something, you know? It's like classic radio. And you guys help sell tickets. And by the way, let me bring that up too. And let's get this out of the way now. Because I don't just come here because I need to sell tickets for my show.
You come here exclusively because you need to sell tickets for your show.
Not exclusively. No, even though tomorrow night I'm at the Comedy Magic Club, Friday night, which is a great club, and Saturday, the Hollywood Improv, which I've not been to in 20 years. I think the last time I played the Hollywood Improv, I was doing, one of those Evening at the Improvs on A&E or the Jerry Lewis Telethon with Jerry Lewis, who was a monster. That's a whole other story. That's right. Another show.
Why have you been 20 years gone from the Hollywood Improv?
Because when I'm home, you know, I'm on the road all the time doing stand-up. So when I'm home, I got a pretty nice house, and I like to cook. I like to drink my wine. I like to watch my television. I like to see my dog. I don't like to leave my house.
Right,
so
sure.
To go to the Laugh Factory or the Improv, or to what? To do 15 minutes? And it's not like the old days when I was single, when people were doing blow and you could nail waitresses. And, I mean, I guess you still can. I wouldn't know where to get it or how to do it. So that's something that's out of my realm and out of my jurisdiction.
Right.
So there's no reason for me to go and hang out with comedians. But what I was going to tell you was, you know, I do love doing your show. And it helps sell tickets. The last time I was on your show, I think it was Memorial Day weekend. And it was one of the first times when I wasn't selling out. I couldn't figure out why. And then I realized Memorial Day weekend is a horrible time to play clubs. Because
sure.
That's when amusement parks are opening and people, you know, it's a holiday.
Everybody's playing.
And these comedy clubs have done that to me over the years. July 4th weekend, everybody's celebrating stuff and having barbecues. And Labor Day weekend, last hurrah before college and school. So every time I come to plug a show here, I'm usually doing pretty well. Yesterday, I call up the Comedy Magic Club, where I'm tomorrow night, one show, 8 o'clock. And you never know who's going to show up. Last time, Gary Shandling, Paul Reiser, always, but I don't, you never know.
Right.
So I go, I don't really need to do Kevin and Bean. It helps sell a few more tickets, actually a lot more tickets. But, you know, I call up yesterday, and I'm not selling any tickets. And then Saturday at the Hollywood Improv, which I haven't been to in 20 years, mm-hmm. They go, well, ticket sales are pretty slow. You better really go on Kevin and Bean and plug it. And I couldn't figure out why. I looked at my little date book today, my little planner on my iPad. Mm-hmm. Today's a holiday. Starts at sundown. I bet you don't know what it is. There's so many ridiculous religions and holidays and observations.
If it's sundown, is it Jewish?
No, get a load of this. Huh. It's Al Adha. Al Adha. Tonight at sundown is, I know, you're looking at me
Al
like,
Adha.
Al Adha, you know what that is?
Yeah, I celebrate it every year.
Okay, well, most people don't.
I don't.
And me and Bean don't, Kevin. Okay, so here's what it is. It's a Muslim celebration, a three-day celebration of festivities. Here's what really killed me. And it begins at sundown. And then I think that's why I'm not selling tickets. I have a big Muslim following.
Do you?
Tremendous.
I don't see that.
Because for a Jew especially, you know I got to be good. I got to be good.
Right, right.
So anyway, I looked on the, and people, if you're home right now, not while you're driving, look up Al Adha. And what it is, it's a three-day festival the Muslims celebrate when Abraham, God came to Abraham and said, and I'm the theologian, I know nothing about the Bible, let alone the Quran, but I guess God said to Abraham, you must kill your firstborn, Ishmael, to show your love for me and how much, you know that.
Yeah.
It's in the New Testament, the Old Testament, and obviously it's in the Quran. So I'm saying to myself, okay, God comes to Abraham to kill his son, and they celebrate the fact that Abraham was going to do it, and he didn't. All right. Anyway, it's amazing to me that the Muslims and the Jews have not gotten along since the first rock was thrown in the first century in the Middle East. And here they are together on a holiday, the Muslims, the Jews, and the New Testament. Everybody's celebrating this, whether it happened or not, it might be an apocryphal story about Abraham killing his son. Here's what's really interesting to me. Whether this happened or not, you know, everyone said God never came to a man and said, if you love me, you obey me, kill your wife. Because the guy would have said, sure, no problem. There wouldn't have been any issue. There wouldn't have been a question.
We wouldn't be celebrating it today.
No, but I think that guys would go to court and go, look, Your Honor, I'm not sure if it was God. It might have been the voices in my head. It might have been Tom, that hypnotist you had in the first hour of the show. Somebody told me to kill my wife. I think it was the Lord. I didn't want to take any chances. I don't mean to open up the show by making fun of my wife, because every time I come on your show,
you do.
I do a joke about my wife.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you something. Before our half hour's up, it goes by so quickly. You know, it's interesting. I make fun of my wife, but my wife, much like myself, are kind of innovators in a lot of things. You know, when I started doing stand-up comedy, a lot of young comics today come up, hey, Bobby, you know, I was watching you as a kid, and I'm not saying I'm a little Richard or Chuck Berry. I'm not an architect of rock and roll.
Right.
Because when I was a young comic, there was Lenny Bruce, Richard Pryor, George Carlin. There were guys that I looked up to, and I like to think that I took this, my personality, even Don Rickles, and I invented this pit bull of comedy, and a lot of young comics who are doing a lot of my material now, not stealing it, but they're saying, Bobby, you know, you're the guy that blazed a path for us. My wife did the same thing with clothing. She was a clothing designer. She never made a living off it, and interior decoration. If you go to my house and you look at any architectural magazine today, my wife did this 10 years ago. I say to her, why do you wear that dress anymore? You know, she goes, well, people are wearing it on the Academy Awards. She designed it 10 years ago. So my wife, I make fun of her, but an innovator and before her time. The reason I bring this up, last night, I'm watching Obama on The Tonight Show.
Right.
And Obama's making all those comments about that horrible Murdoch, that idiotic, you know, with those horrible rape comments. And Obama said something which is true. Rape is rape. It's a horrible thing. There's no reason to ever rape anybody. It's unforgivable. My wife said that to me on our wedding night. My wife, years before, Obama.
Oh, wow. That was a long setup.
I know, but I like listening to myself talk so much that I get carried
away.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
I don't know anything about comedy, but we had to sit through Lenny Bruce, George Carlin, and your wife's Academy Awards comments to get to the rape joke?
I meant to do it quicker, but I get so caught up in listening to my verbiage.
I love listening to yourself. That's
well, you know
for
what
sure.
it is? I can never hear myself when I put headphones on. And you hear me? I go, wow,
turn them up.
I really sound pretty smart. you know, it's like you can't smell your own breath. You try to.
All right,
we need
to take a break.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I need to take a breath. I'll take a breath. I will come back.
All right. Let me give the plug again. He's trying again. To plug you, Bobby.
Okay.
For folks who won't be around for the next segment, because why would you? Performing at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach tomorrow night at 8. Apparently, excellent seats are still available at comedyandmagicclub.com for just $25 to see the Pitbull of Comedy. And then for the first time in almost 20 years at the Hollywood Improv, that's going to be Saturday night, hollywoodimprov.com. Seriously, we've seen Bobby Slayton. He's funny. You should go. We'll be right back on the 100 sentences in a row come out of Bobby Slayton's mouth, and they're all unrelated. It really is fascinating. Like, how does he do it?
Well, they will be related tomorrow night at the Comedy Magic Club and Saturday at the Improv. But I do want to tell you something, okay? And I think everything's is coming around to bite me in the butt.
Okay.
You know, you talk about karma. And, okay, for years I've always made fun of people, and it's always been part of my act.
Make fun of everybody.
I've done a lot of black jokes, and now my daughter's going out with a black guy. And I've made fun of gay people. My daughter, which is not working with the Pussycat Dolls, who she just joined, is now she dances sometimes at a lesbian bar, not naked, to make money. So, you know, we have lesbians and Pussycat Dolls over the house and a black guy. And I always made fun of gays. And you said to me, Bobby, it's amazing you don't like football. And I said, I don't really care about football.
You're talking about sports during that song. He doesn't like any sport.
I used to. And then you said, are you gay? And I said, well, just because I don't like sports and I like to cook. But I think now God is also coming back to get me. I think I'm turning gay. Last night, instead, I forgot the World Series was on. I used to live in San Francisco. Gay. Okay.
Yeah.
That was even expected.
Strike two?
Yeah. This is all coming together now. Look, if I'm going to come out, it's going to be on your show.
Okay, good.
Or at least maybe that'll help draw more people in Hollywood to see me at the Improv. Big gay neighbor. So last night, my daughter and I, we got an advanced copy of, we have a copy of the Frankenweenie movie.
Okay.
You know, the beautiful Tim Burton animated thing where little Frankenweenie gets run over by a car. And I don't want to give away the ending. My daughter and I were sitting on the couch and I was crying.
Crying.
Not only was I crying, the night before, my daughter and her wife went to see at the ArcLight E.T. and they both said, "Oh, we were crying." Like, what do you mean you're crying? It's E.T. It's a dumb movie about a blow up doll that was, you know, came out in the 80s. Who cares? 70s? Who cares about E.T.? You're crying, girls. And here I am crying over an animated dog. I was brought back to life. My daughter and I are sitting on the couch and my little dog, and I might have said this before on your show, but you know what it is? It's hard not to cry when you have a dog, because when they die after 15 years, and if there is a God up there, that's why life's not fair. Because if you have a wife, that thing can live to 90. And it's just wrong. You know, if your dog can live to 90, and you know, your wife would pass away after 15 years, marriage might not be so much pressure. You know what I mean? You wouldn't have, like, I have to get half my property, all my stuff, I gotta get, you know, divorce people.
There's an end line that you could just focus on.
Exactly.
That's a great idea.
Because you're going, you know, she was a great wife, but it had been 15 years. Her legs were going out. She was crapping behind the couch. We had to put her down.
You know, I had to put her in the backyard. Sure.
I loved her. But my dog turns 80 today, and we're going to go play Frisbee. But, of course, life doesn't work that way. Does it?
Bobby, let me ask you this. Comedy Magic Club, Hermosa Beach tomorrow night, Hollywood Improv Saturday. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
As a father, and I can't even imagine what this is like, and Kevin will go through this at 1.2, as your daughters get old enough to make their own decisions, it's got to be terrifying. When your daughter came to you and said, I'm joining the Pussycat Dolls, I'm going to be dancing essentially a burlesque show.
Right.
Your response was what?
Well, here's the thing. Now, there are two, and I still can't get this proper information on my daughter. The Pussycat Dolls come to my house to rehearse in my office.
Right? What?
Yeah. But see, there's two different Pussycat Doll groups. I'm just learning this now. She's been with them for months now. There's the Pussycat.
Is she with the whore group or the non-whore group?
Well, I think they're all whores. No. That has nothing to do with anything.
Okay.
It's like the Hutus and the Tutsis. They're warring factions of the same group. I'm not Okay. I'm not sure exactly who's on what side.
Okay.
But okay, you have the burlesque troupe in Vegas that dances right. in that pure nightclub. But my daughter joined the singing Pussycat Dolls.
Okay.
They're the singing group. I guess that Nicole woman.
Yeah.
Left her
singer.
Group, and now there's two new singers, and my daughter's one of those singers, and I think they're about to sign some big deal. So there's a dancing burlesque group and a singing group. So my daughter.
I see.
Yeah, they
okay.
were in Vegas with that woman, I guess, Robin Anton, who put the whole group together. She was there a few weeks ago, and they were doing some promotional stuff and walking the red carpet. So I said, well, did the singing Pussycat Dolls run into the dancing Pussycat Dolls? And she goes, yeah, well, we went to the nightclub and we hung out with them. And I said, well, was there tension? A lot like, you know, again, like the Shiites and the Sunnis. I mean, I know you all hate Jews and Americans, but are you bound together as whores, like you said? Or is there a different... And I'm not sure if they get kicked out like Menudo when they hit 25. They're like the monkeys with vaginas. You know, somebody put them together. I don't know how it works, but I know that they fight crime, Bean, and that's what
yes.
counts, okay?
I
know
okay. that I think doing... you're thinking of the Powerpuff Girls. Yes. I think you're a little bit confused
yes.
there.
Well, I don't know.
And they do it at Crazy Horse, right?
I'm Charlie's Angels, all of them. You know what? Right. What's going on in this world today with the Republicans and the Democrats, with global warming and the polar ice caps disappearing? There's a cupcake war on the Bravo channel. There's a lot of stuff. Gas prices. Nobody's got a job. People need to go see comedy. And all I know is the Pussycat Dolls are trying to make this world a better place. And I think
there
my daughter is the one that turns into fire. Not sure.
It's Bobby may not have all the facts.
You should check into that.
Well, I can't look at no, because I haven't signed this big deal yet. And I'm not really allowed to talk about
it. Oh, I see.
All right.
The big deal that you just brought up?
Yeah, because your show. If I get in trouble, I get in trouble.
But, right. So if she becomes a big star like yes. Nicole Scherzinger did, then yes. you're going to now be known as Bobby Slayton so-and-so's father.
That's going to be, you know what?
You're going to be redefined after all these years in show business.
But when she was nine, she was on a series at Universal, and I would have to take her there once in a while if I wasn't on the road, and I'd run into all these big stars, and I'd see them walking around. I think, hey, Bobby, what are you doing? What are you working on? I go, I'm babysitting. I'm with my daughter. So I'm used to this already. It's fine.
She's going to upstage you. There's no question.
Look, at least I could do this. I could hold my head up high. I'm not going to walk around like the old comic Sammy Shore. I go, I'm Paulie's father. At least I can. She can't do any worse than that. You know,
that's right.
Can't. Okay? At least I know she'll do that good.
It's been a long time since we've had a Paulie Shore reference. I like it.
It has.
I like it. That's a good one to go back to.
All right, guys.
Your half hour's up, Bobby.
Okay,
pal. Let me plug one more time because you got to go see Mr. Slayton on stage at the Comedy Magic Club. Hermosa Beach, that's going to be tomorrow night at 8. Just $25, by the way, which is a pretty good deal this day and age, if you want my opinion.
And there's hopefully there'll be some special guest stars to help me. And then if not, I'm working on my new special.
Is there any way you could let Bean finish talking? Because he's plugging your event.
Oh, okay.
And then the Hollywood Improv Saturday night at 8 and 10. Two shows, tickets just $20 at HollywoodImprov.com. I like what Bobby's doing, by the way, where he sells his show by saying there might be special guests. It'd be like every day we go, listen to Kevin and Bean. Denzel Washington might stop by.
Let's start doing that.
Well, you guys are already number one, so you don't have to. I'm not anywhere near number one.
But you're
one.
Number one in our hearts,
oh,
Bobby.
Thank you,
and that's really what
thank you, guys.
Right, group hug.
Let's take a look at the showbiz news. Tina and Joe Simpson, mom and dad to Jessica and Ashley Simpson, are calling it quits after 34 years of wedded bliss.
Wow.
This is on the heels of the Danny DeVito, Rhea Perlman, who had a similar amount of time they were married, right?
Look, the older we live, people, the more we have expiration dates on our marriages, apparently. Used to be you got married, you know, at 10, and then you died at 40. So, it wasn't so bad. But now,
is that accurate? Are those numbers accurate?
I'm pretty sure they are, yeah. Tina and Joe are calling it quits. According to the court papers filed in Texas, the reason for the split is discord or conflict of personalities. So would you consider it a discord or conflict of personalities if one of the couple was straight and the other one was gay?
Seems like a little more than a conflict of personality.
I would think so. But insiders are saying that's the deal. The former Baptist minister, Joe Simpson, gathered his family together a couple months ago and came out of the closet, according to sources. And the split apparently is amicable, and everyone's getting along just fine.
All celebrity splits are.
I was happy to hear, again, that Joe Simpson may, in fact, be gay, because it takes the creepiness out of all those compliments he gave his daughter Jessica's boobs. He was just saying, they're fabulous! Look at them! Magical! I wish I had those boobs. That's what he was thinking.
Giant size can.
Look at my daughter's boobs.
Which is creepy. So that's like Bean-esque. But I'm saying he, you know, he's just complimenting her. There's no sexual element to it if he in fact is
right.
gay. So that might be a relief for all of us. Everyone was talking about Donald Trump yesterday, much to his happiness. His bombshell that he dropped about Obama that was going to change the election was complete bust. It was basically nothing more than Trump offering $5 million to a charity if The president would release his college records and applications and passport records and applications.
Whatever.
Everyone mocked this offer, including pundits on the far right.
Republicans are like, he's not with us.
Michelle Malkin, who was like one of the most arch conservatives of all pundits, tweeted, Donald Trump is a clown and not a friend of conservatism.
Love it.
So even the right is disowning Donald Trump at this point.
You see what Shep Smith had to say on Fox about the Trump clip?
What did
Shep
have to say?
Oh, get off, 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 get off it, get off it, get off it, get off it.
Yeah, I think we all agree.
Sadly, the offer was made before Fox was able to get Donald off the screen. And while we're talking about show business and politics colliding, Kevin, we'll be happy to hear that when the election's over, the celebrities will stop endorsing their candidates.
Yes, God.
It's been no secret that Bruce Springsteen has been an Obama supporter, has been performing at rallies for the president around the country. Tuesday in Virginia, he was at another one, a re-election rally for 5,000 fans. He gave them a free concert doing some of his songs, including an impromptu campaign song that he wrote for President Obama that he seemed to be making up on the spot.
Uh-oh. That sounds bad.
He started off with doing an Obama impression.
Oh, really?
The boss is doing impressions these days.
Good.
And then he broke into song, and the audience had to sing the chorus, which he said was Forward, which is the campaign slogan for the Obama campaign. And then the boss filled in the verses.
The first debate really freaked me out. No, that wasn't going to work. Romney got schooled twice by Obama. There you go. Smiling Joe Biden brought the drama. Fox News said he'd been smoking marijuana. That's right.
Said he had a hard time finding words that rhymed with Obama.
That's not much of a song.
That's just the last verse. In previous verses, he rhymed pajamas and Obama.
You do run out pretty quick, I imagine.
He said he was having a hard time. So yeah. That's what he came up with. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? It's Katy Perry's 28 years old.
Good looking 28
that's
right there.
That's a good deal right there, that Katy Perry. Katy Perry. John Mayer, by the way.
Yeah.
Still cashing in. They were off again, but they're on again.
All right.
Josh Henderson from Dallas and Desperate Housewives, he's 31 years old. Zachary Knighton, he's on a show called Happy Endings. I was not on board with that show early on, but I've been watching it more and more. It's a very funny show.
Is it getting better?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It may have been good all the time. I wasn't watching, but I've enjoyed the episodes I've watched. 34 years old today, Adam Goldberg, super talented actor from Entourage, Saving Private Ryan, and of course, the Hebrew Hammer. Let's not forget the Hebrew Hammer.
Dazed and Confused is what I think of him, man, too.
Yeah, sure. 42 years old. Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers is 51 years old. You can currently see him and Zach Galifianakis still in theaters with The Candidate, I believe.
Different guy. That's Will Ferrell.
That's still in that movie.
Person. They just look alike, Rob.
Nancy Cartwright, voice of Bart Simpson on The Simpsons, celebrates her 55th birthday today. That's the magic of being a voice actor, by the way.
Yep.
You can be a 55-year-old woman and play an 8-year-old child and make $250,000 a week while you're doing it. It's good stuff. Legendary basketball coach Bobby Knight. Is 72 years old, and Marion Ross, who played Richie's mom on Happy Days, Mrs. C, celebrates her 84th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
What's great is that if you're Junior Dos Santos and you are late, who's going to ever call you on it? You can show up whenever you want, right? But we are delighted to say that Mr. Dos Santos is here. He is the UFC heavyweight champion of the world, ladies and gentlemen. He joins us in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Junior. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing very well, and you?
Good,
it
glad
is
to have you.
Nice. Very much a pleasure to have you. Of course, UFC 155, as we all know, is coming up on Saturday, December the 29th on pay-per-view in Las Vegas. And the reason Junior is here today is because tickets are going on sale Friday morning, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock through Ticketmaster. This is a rematch that Cain Velasquez wants very much. How do you feel about it, Junior?
I want that very much, too. For sure. You know, Cain Velasquez is a really tough opponent, for sure, you know, but...
Not last time.
Yeah, last time was just 64 seconds, so I want to do the same again, you know?
Something very fast. You fought Cain Velasquez on Fox?
Yeah, on Fox.
Almost a year ago, exactly, mid-November last year.
Yeah.
So 64 seconds. You worked for months leading up to that, months and months, and your whole career really is training, basically. And 64 seconds has to be at once satisfying, and yet what do you do with all that energy that you've built up? Is it difficult to go to sleep for a couple of days? Or?
No, no, I slept very well that day.
Just because you're happy?
Yeah, because all my work, all the work that I have, you know, was good, you know, because I was the champion. I just won at that time. I just wanted my chance to fight for the title, and they gave him that chance. I went there and beat the champion. And that time was Ken Velasquez. So now he wants to beat me, but it's not gonna be like that, you know. I will keep my belt because yeah, this is I will keep my belt because I believe so much on me. I know he's tough. But man, I really believe I can knock anyone out in the world, and I will do this that again.
Now, as much as you can analyze a fight that lasts a minute, there are those who have said that Cain fought to not lose rather than fighting to win. If you understand the difference I'm trying to make there, what do you see as his mistake that night?
I think his mistake. I don't think he was a mistake of him. You know, he did his well. When the fight, I like to fight standing, you know, on my feet, and he accept to fight on standing with me. So I feel very comfortable using my boxing during the fight.
Was it a mistake for him to leave standing?
Yeah, I think it was, because his best is his wrestling. He's really good to take people down, you know, and I think this time he's gonna try to do that, you know. He's gonna try to take me down and use his ground and pound where he's very good. But man, if I will try to keep the fight standing again, yeah. You know, I love to fight standing. I think his mistake in that time was this, you know. He accept to fight standing with me, and well, he paid for that.
Is there something in the mindset of, as long as it's standing, I could, either one of you could end the fight in 1 second? It's not quite that quick when you get to the ground, and then there's ground and pound, and everybody's moving for position, It just seems like it's a quicker end to a fight.
In the ground, I think it's more like boring. The fight is more boring.
To those of us that don't know the art, it is.
Yeah.
But
you know, this is the heavyweight division. It's too much power involved, and when you got hit, you're probably going to go out.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful.
It just takes one good opening, right? One good
punch.
Yeah.
That's what I try to find in the fight, you know? I'm trying to be looking for a good moment to knock my opponents out. Because my coach, my boxing coach, used to say for me, I have power to do that, to knock people out.
So you prefer standing up, you prefer boxing.
Yeah.
Are you aware when the crowd, a lot of times if a fight goes to the ground, after a while the crowd starts, you know, come on. Are you aware of their presence and of the fact that this fight isn't really doing it for them? Or are you just so hyper-focused you can't hear
that? Yeah, I just keep my focus in the fight, you know. I try to don't listen them, you know. I try just to listen my coach, you know, from the corner. So I never, actually in UFC, I never fought on the ground, you know. People take me down, but I back on my feet right away. So, but I know Cain Velasquez has good chances to take me down and hold me there using his ground and pound. But, you know, I train a lot of jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and I'm ready to submit someone to, maybe at this time.
He says with a smile.
This is the voice of Junior Dos Santos here on the Kevin Amin Show. We're talking about UFC 155, which is happening December the 29th. Hey, that might be a nice, you know, New Year's Eve weekend in Las Vegas. Why not? At the MGM Grand Garden, tickets are going on sale through Ticketmaster Friday at 10. When you're growing up in Brazil, I guess in the 90s, are there role models for you in fighting, or do you get into the fight just because it's something you do as a little kid and fall in love with it?
No, not in fighting. You know, my first contact with fights was with 21 years old.
Okay.
Pretty late. But that's my role model when I was like teenager or a kid was Ayrton Senna, Pelé, like, you know,
soccer.
Those guys, yeah. Soccer and Formula One.
You got to it so
Formula
late.
One. Formula One, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I
see.
So you weren't even fighting in high school then?
No.
Or wrestling or anything?
No, Nothing.
You're a quick study.
That is shocking to me.
You learn quickly.
Yeah, my first contact was 7 years ago. So I'm a very focused guy, you know, and I try, when I do something, I try to do my best doing that, you know, and that's why I think I'm the champion today.
That's amazing. So 6 years ago, Kevin, he starts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
MMA. And, yeah. And then becomes 6 years later becomes the champion. That's unbelievable. Wow. All right. Well, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk some more about the fight that's coming up and some other stuff with our guest, Junior Dos Santos. And you can also email us or call if you have questions too for the champ. We'd love to hear from you as well right after this on the Kevin Bean Show on the world famous camera. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock through Ticketmaster. Cheap seats, by the way, only $75 to be part of history to see UFC 155, Junior Dos Santos versus Cain Velasquez 2, The Revenge, the sequel. Junior is in studio with us. Kevin, have you noticed how many of these UFC guys, and we have a lot of them on the show, are just so nice? They're such pleasant, like, people. They're fun to hang out with. They laugh. They're having a good time. It's hard to believe these are the same people we're seeing in the octagon, isn't it?
You don't seem like a fighter. You seem like you're joking and laughing. And
yeah, I'm a professional fighter.
You know how to turn it on and turn it off. Yeah. Junior, how much time do you spend in the United States versus back home in Brazil?
Well, now I'm spending not too much time here, you know, in the States. I like to stay here, you know, because to improve my English, and I like people from here, you know. But now I'm doing my camp in Brazil, and I'm training. Actually, I'm spending more time there in Brazil. But after this fight, I think I'm going to come to stay more here.
Gotcha. Our friend Joe Rogan, whom you know well, he tells us that the UFC fights, every time they're in Brazil now, they're just bigger and bigger and more popular. And the people really are just loving it down there. It's really like, I mean, it's always been popular there, but it's just crazy popular now.
Yeah. It's very, very popular now there, because, you know, people, the Brazilian people, they love fights, you know. I think we are the second sport in the country already, and you know, everybody's watching the fights. And I made part of a television program there now, and we were very, very well interviewed, you know. A lot of people were watching us.
Sure.
So I think it's good, you know. That's what I want. I'm glad to be part of it, you know, in especially as a champion.
How did you grow up for 21 years in a place where fighting is so popular without fighting?
Well, yeah. Actually, say it again.
How did you grow up for the first 21 years of your life in Brazil, where fighting is so huge and everybody loves it, but you didn't fight for all that?
Yeah. I was I grew up in a small city in Santa Catarina, is the state, a very small city. So I used to work with a lot of things, you know. I never had the contact with mixed martial arts before.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it's pretty hard when people don't have chance to do that. You know, I had to work very, very soon in my life. So that's why I think I don't have this contact.
What kinds of jobs did you do? What were your other jobs?
I don't know if I know how can I explain in English that for you, but I did a lot. You know, I work in pharma.
We have an interpreter with you.
Yeah, we have Anna. So let me tell her in Portuguese. She's going to explain.
Okay.
Pedreiro.
As a construction assistant.
Colhi maçã, colhi feijão.
Picking crops.
Wow.
Yeah.
Regular hard jobs.
Department de cargas.
Day laborer, shipping, carrying, hauling.
Yeah, unbelievable.
A lot of things.
So those people now are watching you on TV going, hey, that's Junior. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I used to send him out for lunch.
Yeah. Sometimes I go to my city and people used to come for me and, hey, I remember you. I was your good friend, man. You don't remember me?
When you become champion, I imagine you have a lot more friends all the time.
Yeah, friends. Yeah. Like people who say, I'm your like
cousin
or something like that.
Exactly.
Can you bring something like that? Yeah.
When you are now a little over 2 months away from the fight, how serious is your workout regimen right now? How much do you have to do each day?
Yeah, it's very serious. I take my career very serious, and that's why I think I'm the champion. You know, I used to training twice a day, and around 4 or 5 rounds per day. But that's it. I train, then I eat, then I eat, then I sleep, and then I train again. that's my routine.
I like 2/3 of that very much, I will tell you. Eating and the sleeping sounds great.
Let's take one call. Juan has a question for you. Hi, Juan.
Morning, Kevin Bean.
Hi.
You're on with the champ.
What's your question?
The Santos, big fan. You're definitely a people's champ.
Thank you, buddy.
I wanted to ask you real quick. You recently fought Frank Mir, and now you're fighting Cain Velasquez for the second time. Both, you know, ground and pound guys. Is there a different strategy now fighting Cain Velasquez?
Well, man, I think my first strategy is always going to be to try to knock my opponent out, you know. And this is going to be my strategy again. You know, I don't want to go to the ground with Cain Velasquez like I did with Frank Mir. But I know Cain is really good, but I don't care. I'm going to go there to knock him out.
I don't think you change your strategy when you beat a guy in 64 seconds. I just think do whatever you do is working. Thank you for the call, though. Let's do one more. Tio is on line 2. He's got a question for Junior Dos Santos here on the Kevin Avin Show. Tio, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. You're on with Junior.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, Junior? A big fan of you. I had a question for you. I know you have beef with Alistair Overeem. I wanted to know, are you looking past Cain Velasquez and focusing more on Alistair Overeem?
His translator is translating.
Don't know. I don't care about Alistair Overeem. You know, he's a pretty good fighter, you know. And if one day we have to fight, we're going to fight. And I will give my best to beat him, you know. He's pretty big, but, you know, not too much. Actually, he was saying about things that is not true about me, but that's it.
Huh. Well, I don't say things that are not true about you if there's a chance I may meet you in the octagon one day. I keep those things to myself is what I do.
Junior Dos Santos is here. Before we go, I would like to play a little bit of you singing.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you mind? I heard this is how you learned to speak English.
Yeah, I like music. Uh-huh. That's how I learn a little bit of my English.
Okay, and this is you singing Adele.
My gosh.
Yes.
Sometimes love it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. I wish nothing but the best to you.
That is the world champion right there.
Yep. I love that. Well, I think
now,
maybe...
Now I'm seeing other things, man. This one's already
on?
Old.
All right.
I think UFC was a better choice than American Idol, Junior, so congratulations. UFC 155, Dos Santos versus Velasquez 2. Again, it's going to be Saturday night, December 29th, on pay-per-view from MGM's Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. Tickets are on sale Friday morning. That's tomorrow at 10 via Ticketmaster. Main card at 7 o'clock, prelims on FX that night. I can't wait. We're so excited. We got a chance to have you in the studio. We're so happy for your success. Good luck, my friend.
Oh, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be talking with you guys. And for sure, this show, UFC 155, is going to be really good. You know, this rematch between me and Cain Velasquez. I know Cain Velasquez wants that so much.
Yeah.
And I'll do my best to stop him again.
You're not going to get
it. You guys are going to like it.
Thank you, Junior. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
Elijah Maleko from Orange. Thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You have just won Knott's Halloween Haunt tickets. We got them for you all week long here on the Kevin and Bean Show and on the world-famous K-Rock. Dr. Drew.
Gentlemen.
What's up, my friend? How are you?
I'm having a good time. What's up?
The only guy that we know that's in as good a shape as Junior Dos Santos. Oh. Dr. Drew.
Nice.
A couple things for you today, Dr. Drew. Of course, Dr. Drew is the co-host of the very popular Loveline show here on K-Rock, weeknights at 9 on HLN. He's got a show. And, of course, the excellent Rehab, Sunday nights at 8 on VH1. I wanted to ask you, because your name was thrown about a lot in the news this week after that failed attempt to get Lindsay Lohan into rehab, an intervention that Michael Lohan, her father, who I know that you're sort of friends with, tried to arrange. Were you at all involved in making that thing come down?
Yeah, Michael gave me permission to talk about what he had done. He contacted me and said he wanted to do this intervention at Lindsay, and he was organizing it. And I said, look, Michael, the last thing, you want to do an effective intervention? I walk in the room, you think Lindsay's going to go for that? Are you kidding? you know, I just thought she would be negatively predisposed to me. You guys have brought that up with me in the past here, that she Twitters and says nasty things about me.
Right.
She doesn't like me. So fine. I would not be likely to be effective in intervention. So I referred him to another guy who's like a guy named Ed Story. He's one of the world's greatest interventionists. And had they gone with him, it probably would have turned out differently.
Right. But her dad, she hates her dad as much or more than you.
Well, yeah, she's got feelings about her dad and stuff. And just leaving it up to a great interventionist, it probably would have gone okay. But the reality is, according to as Michael tells it, the whole thing fell apart before they even got in the door. I mean, she just bolted when she saw him even approaching the house. And right. Again, that's could you imagine me and Michael approaching the house?
Yeah.
Come on, impossible.
Our theory has been, and we've talked about this on the air some in the past week, Dr. Drew, that if Michael was serious about getting his daughter into rehab, knowing the way she feels about him, he should have stayed the hell away. And kind of what you said, send somebody else who's more qualified to show up that she might take seriously and let in the door.
That's a reasonable idea. Michael sees his relationship with Lindsay differently than the press does. And I don't know, you know, what's real and what's not in terms of how those two relate. But according to him, she does sort of open up to him a little bit and listen to him.
Now he's crazy.
Well, I don't know. I do.
Who's the doctor?
Here's what I do know. He is her father. He is really concerned about her, and it's very appropriate. So, you know, listen, let's stop looking at him as Michael Lohan and start thinking of him as a father of a daughter.
All right.
Forget the daughter's name is Lindsay Lohan.
No can do.
It gets a little more sympathetic.
One last question on this, and I know that some people hate it when you comment on patients that you're not treating, but just based on what you've seen on television and heard from people you know, do you think Lindsay should be in rehab?
Well, what I've heard is that she's actually been doing a little better recently, so I thought it was sort of peculiar that the intervention was I think it might have been grown out of that whole conflict that was recorded with she and Dina.
Right.
But, yeah, Lindsay, listen, people don't understand. You know, I don't know what's going on with her psychologically, but if you're looking at medical and psychiatric conditions, they're pretty easy to assess from afar. When somebody is speaking a million miles an hour and moving their jaw a lot and talking about using drugs,
right,
or seen using drugs, you pretty much know that's methamphetamine. And if they get paranoid, that's what that is. You don't have to talk to somebody or know them to know what's going on. Just as if somebody says, gee, I have a sore throat and they're sneezing, I've got a runny nose, you pretty much know that's a virus. You pretty much know it.
Right.
It's the same idea. It's, you know, I'm not saying when I comment on these things, I know for sure, but you can know pretty much what these things are. And Lindsay, poor Lindsay, looks like she's in real trouble, and we should be very, very concerned about her.
Understood. All right, new topic, new celebrity. You had June Shannon and her little daughter, Honey Boo Boo, in your HLN studio recently. What did you think of them, Doc?
Well, I've met them before. They were on Life Changes about a year ago. And that was actually their first interview that they'd ever done on television. And they were very excited to be on TV. This time, they're not so excited about television.
Well, because they're bigger stars than you are now, Doctor.
They're huge. And poor Boo Boo, you know, really sort of overdone, I think, with the television and all. And, you know, when I was interviewing her, we actually taped it before we aired it. And I was interviewing her, and she all of a sudden pretended to fall asleep.
We have audio of that, but go ahead and keep setting it up.
It reminded me of what I used to do with my piano teacher when I was a kid. I pretend I was asleep. My kids did the same thing with their piano teacher. I thought, oh, this is awesome. But here's what went through my head. Here's the comedy. I went through my head. I thought, all right, let's take my time with this and wait for this poor child to sort of become, you know, be willing to talk to me if she wants.
She'll get bored of the sleeping thing quickly?
And I thought, well, and we'll cut this out, and it won't go on television.
right.
And that'll be that. And lo and behold, that becomes the big thing that goes viral around the world. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
All right, let's hear the tape. Here's Dr. Drew with Honey Boo Boo and her mom, June.
Back with Honey Boo Boo Child and Mama June. Honey Boo Boo, you all right?
She's stretching.
Let me ask you some questions, honey. I know. Everybody always wants to talk to you. Is it difficult to be on TV? Is she sleeping?
I know what it's like to be the interviewer in that situation, and it blows. As much as you understand it, it's tough.
But listen, when you're somebody's taping stuff, you just go, all right, well, we'll just get rid of this later.
That's
no one wants to see this. And then now you guys are playing a tape of it during a morning show.
And then later they said,
I'm only six, and I've already had three heart attacks, girlfriend.
So that happened.
Doctor, you called June on her obesity and, more importantly, her kid's obesity. She has a 15-year-old in that family that I think weighs around 170 pounds. What was her response when you called her out on that?
She said, oh, no, I realize it's a problem, and we're on to it. We're eating fruits and vegetables. I've lost 50 pounds. She has lost quite a bit of weight herself. In the meantime, Honey Boo Boo is eating chicken fingers.
Yeah.
So, they're lovely people. They're much more community-minded than people understand. I mean, June, the mom, she does the couponing and hoards all these products. She does it so she can give it to homeless people and people who are financially distressed. The dad's a volunteer fireman. It's a weird situation. I mean, the mom, I also talked to her about being a teen parent. She had two kids by the time she was 19.
Wow.
Right. And she talked about how that is really difficult. That
but at least her kid, who was 17 or 18, was pregnant, right?
I asked her about that, and she said, very disappointing. But listen, guys, if you have a mom that was a teen mom, you are at risk for teen momming yourself. It is very highly likely.
Wow.
I like this family very much. I know everybody likes to make fun of them, and I don't know how much of it is in the editing, but it does seem like on the show, all they eat is cheese balls. It doesn't seem like there's any fruits or vegetables going on, I'll tell you that.
Well, again, it's reality television. Who knows what gets edited
exactly.
And not. But there, yes, the dietary habits are suspect.
Love Line airs Sunday through Thursday, 10 to midnight on K-Rock. Dr. Drew airs weeknights at 9 on HLN. And don't miss Rehab, Sundays at 8 p.m. on VH1. Thanks, Doctor. We enjoy the time.
Okay, guys.
I don't want to be the tard. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:58.
I know what you're thinking. Kevin and Bean, you guys have to be spent. You have to be done. The show must be over. You just had Dr. Drew, Junior Dos Santos, Bobby Slayton. You've had too much. No. Carrie Fisher joins us after the top of the hour. Princess Leia herself on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Are you going to be creepy because she's Princess Leia?
No, not at all.
Yeah. She was like 30 years
not
ago.
Yeah, I'd like to get those buns on the side of your head. You know what I'm saying?
I'm a fan of hers. I've read her books. I've seen her movies. I like her very much, but not in a creepy way at
my
all.
My lightsaber.
First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
Would you like to feel the force?
No, not like that at all.
I'm being.
Hey, listen up, film fans. How would you like to attend another very special K-Rock advanced screening of a movie? This one's going to be good. Like, unlike the other ones. Those are all crap. This one's a good one.
How can we tell what's good?
I'm kidding. This is good. This is Flight.
Yay!
Stars Denzel Washington, John Goodman, Don Cheadle. Oh, my God. That's like a delicious actor Oreo right there. Denzel Washington, John Goodman in the middle, and Don Cheadle. It's like a double-stuffed actor Oreo. This film surrounds a story similar to what happened with Captain Sully Sullenberg when he landed that plane, that miracle landing on the Hudson River.
Right.
Denzel plays a pilot who saves an entire flight from crashing, but the investigation into the crash and his personal life reveals some disturbing facts and makes his life a living hell. It looks like a great film. By the way, we haven't mentioned, I've been giving these away all week, Robert Zemeckis is the director, who's one of my favorite directors. Guy's just done brilliant work in drama, like Forrest Gump, or with Lighter Fare, like Who Framed Roger Rabbit was his. Super talented guy. I'm looking forward to this film. If you'd like to go, I have got five pairs of passes to give away right now. 1-800-520-1067. The screening will take place on Thursday, the 1st, before the movie comes out, and it'll be at the Arclight in Hollywood, which is a great place to see a movie. And if you're at the Arclight, don't forget, that is the home of Kevining, so maybe you want to take a Kevining picture while you're at the Arclight.
Let's let that go.
To memorialize the fact that you are. It's like Mecca. It's like going to Mecca.
It's not anything like that.
It's like going to the Vatican for a Catholic. You get to go to the place where it all started, the very heart of Kevinings, right there at the Arclight. It's good stuff. Surprising news today. Tina and Joe Simpson, parents of Jessica and Ashley Simpson, are calling it quits after 34 years of marriage. That always gets me when someone has put in 30, 40 years of marriage and they decide it's not going to work out.
Yeah.
It would seem like you would figure it out by then one way or the other.
At least the kids are grown now.
Maybe
though.
That's why. Maybe people
the one
wait.
Advantage.
Maybe they were trying to wait for Jessica to lose her weight, but
yeah,
they just couldn't hold out that long. Honey, let's wait until she's not fat anymore. Oh, I'm not. I don't know. I don't think I can.
I can't
last
wait
long.
Any longer.
She's on Weight Watchers. She hasn't lost a thing. What are we going to do?
Well, let's just call it quits.
Now, rumor has it. Now, again, this is according to the National Enquirer, which, you know, is a tabloid, so take it for what it's worth, that the split was called in Texas court papers a discord or conflict of personalities, which apparently is a thing in Texas. Insiders are saying
Joe gathered the family together 2 months ago and came out of the closet as a gay man and thought it was disingenuous, perhaps, to stay married to Tina. The official statement claims that their split is amicable, and if that's the case, I could see where it might be. It's not so much you, it's your vagina, he could say to his wife. It's not really her fault. It's nothing about her that he's not interested in.
It's that personality trait of being gay.
That's right. I've got that going on for
that
me.
One. We may ask Carrie Fisher about this when we have her on, but she had a long-time live-in boyfriend that she almost married who left her for a man.
Yes. Fran Drescher, also famously, got divorced from her husband because he was gay. So it happens, people. And that's cool. I hope everything works out fine. I hope Jessica loses some weight. Although she might do some comfort eating now, and that would set her back. I'm just saying. Today's celebrity birthdays. Katy Perry's 28 years old today.
Yes.
Ah, I wonder how she's going to celebrate. You know, she has those cupcake boobs that she straps on. Maybe someone gets to blow out those candles. You know,
that's going to be quite something to check out.
Yeah. Josh Henderson from Dallas and Desperate Housewives. He's 31 years old. Zachary Knighton from Happy Endings, 34 years old. Adam Goldberg, very talented actor, is 42. Chad Smith from Red Hot Chili Peppers. He's their drummer. He's 51. Nancy Cartwright. Bart Simpson on The Simpsons is 55. If I'm not mistaken, she may be the only actor on that show who just does the one voice.
Was that right?
I don't know if she does multiple characters on that show.
Hmm.
I think she may do Nelson. She may do the bully as well. But 55 years old today. Bobby Knight, Hall of Fame basketball coach, is 72. And actress Marion Ross, best known for playing Mrs. C, Mrs. Cunningham on Happy Days for all those years, 84 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.
That song everyone is talking about by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis is called Thrift Shop, coming up in a few minutes here on the world-famous K-Rock. So you're driving by the Brea Improv this weekend, Kevin, and you look at the marquee, and the name of the performer that is on stage that night is Carrie Fisher. And you think, there's some sort of mistake, right?
Awesome.
Go ahead. Asking, taking any question you want from the audience. That sounds dangerous. Brea Improv tonight at 8, 2 shows tomorrow, 2 shows Saturday, 2 shows Sunday. Tickets available through BreaImprov.com. And Carrie Fisher, who sounds exhausted already, he hasn't even started. It sounds like a terrible scheduling mistake, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is totally. I'm punishing myself for some unknown crime that I'll remember right in the middle of doing this.
Why so many shows? It's a great idea.
I don't, because that's what they wanted. You think this is like me going in and saying, please let me do 2 shows a day.
Well, we think you have free will.
I don't know. It's not free. It costs me.
Okay. So, it's tonight at 8, and then tomorrow at 8 and 10, and then Saturday at 7 and 9, and then Sunday at 3 and 7.
Well, it's my Halloween schedule. You know, I'm going to go as Princess Leia.
Okay.
As old, very nice. Old Leia. Really. Sounds like a perfume, doesn't it?
Old Leia, yeah.
No, it's like better never than late. Who does stand up at the other end of their life and not in the beginning when they do better standing?
That's true.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
But more stuff to talk about at this end than that.
Sure.
One of the reasons I'm so fascinated, I wouldn't give a damn about most celebrities being on stage answering questions, because most celebrities are all about the PR and they're all about how they're being perceived and they want everybody to like them. And for whatever reason, Carrie, maybe you can explain, is it because of your history as an addict or your history with mental illness or whatever that you are just an open book and you really don't give an F what people think about you?
I don't give an F, G, or L what people think. Well, you know, but all that stuff, it would come out in a way. You know, it's like a rumor starting. And it's a horrible way. There was a title of an article in one of the rag papers saying Carrie Fisher's tragic life. And I don't think of it that way. But, you know, and listen, I've got a lot of great mental hospital stories. And how many people have that don't have to make them up? So
very few.
Let me throw out a couple of things for you, because you do say any questions, and virtually nothing's off limits, right?
Okay, yeah.
Is it true that you had a guy die in your house, and now you believe your place is haunted?
Well, I don't believe it. It was haunted in the beginning. Yes, he did die in my house, which is really bad. It's rude. It's bad. you know, behavior. But I talked about this for a while, but this was horrible. And, you know, I say if my life wasn't true, it would just, I mean, if my life wasn't funny, it would just be true.
Right.
Not the other way. But, you know, that was really, and it was a, and his name was Stevens. You know, like this guy that was just in Benghazi, and he was in politics, but
wow.
A Republican.
So what
was the only gay Republican drug addict in the history of the world, and of course he died at my house.
Of course he did. So that's an example of somebody would get up in the audience and ask you that, and then you would what? Fill in the blanks a little bit, tell a little bit of the story, right?
I would do that in wishful drinking, and people never thought I was serious. But, I mean, you know, they'll just be quiet. You know, at the beginning you say, any questions about that?
Right.
And it'd be like, what, all of you have woken up with dead people? Is this like a convention that I don't know about?
So you started taking questions. The audience didn't understand you were serious about getting questions for
right.
a while. Huh.
Right. Well, no, it doesn't sound like something. And I'm not making fun of it. But if eventually you can't make light of some of these things, they just haunt you, and we are
of
coming
course.
Up on Halloween, so
sure.
I don't want to be haunted.
All right.
Of course, yeah. Again, the show is called Any Questions at the Brea Improv, BreaImprov.com. Okay, what's it like for you, who I consider to be a very smart and very perceptive woman, to have a longtime lover leave you for a man? What does that do to you?
That was a blast also. That was, if the house could be haunted by that, it would be interesting too, like guys in drag walking around the backyard. That was rough, you can imagine.
Does it shake you to the core? Like, how did I miss every possible signal that should have been there in front of me?
Yes, you feel like an idiot. And, you know, when you sort of feel like you could have impacted it and you're not dissuaded from that opinion, you know, that I turned him gay. You know,
yes.
I'm that powerful.
You must feel like a terrible lover, though, at that point. If
well,
he's going right,
yeah,
if he's going
I
to
mean,
penis,
certainly in his opinion, I must have been. So, but that, and I have a child with him, and he's a very good father.
Wow, what an unbelievable life you've had, Carrie Fisher.
Ridiculous life, just ridiculous.
What question do you get the most from audiences? That just every time you go, you know, you can count on this question.
Well. They'll ask you really questions you can't answer without it. They won't insult someone. So it'd be like, who's a better kisser, Paul Simon or Dan Aykroyd, you know? Or, you know, they want you to insult someone.
They need some dirt on somebody.
Yeah, so they'll be, you know, who did you have sex with on the Star Wars films or something like that. So
right.
Those become iffy areas, but it just depends on my mood whether I answer them or not.
The answer is Jar Jar Binks.
Always. Did you ever hook up with John Belushi on the Blues Brothers movie?
No, but
really?
He set me up with Danny. I didn't hook up with him. I did drugs with him endlessly. But he set me up with Aykroyd by calling me up and saying, come over. I came over. Aykroyd was there, and John passed out.
Oh,
look
nice.
At that.
So
look
Quaaludes.
At that.
So that's the ultimate blind date. I mean, it's a different kind of speed dating, right?
I only ask about that because he was so unbelievably likable and charismatic. And,
he was
and
fantastic.
He had those, you know, those eyes, those little puppy dog eyes, and he'd look up at you. And I think he would be attractive to a woman back then.
Well,
that's
attractive
all.
In, I don't know about sexually, but one night all of us were on acid. And his wife and I was with Danny, and he looked at me and he had his shirt off, and this is a big guy, and he said, you know, you and I are alike. They're not like us. And then he died like 3 weeks later.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that kind of stuck out. But, you know, we took acid for the first time on the Blues Brothers movie during those scenes where they had all the policemen.
Right.
Oh, my God.
And we thought they were extras. They were cops.
Who has better stories than Carrie Fisher? No one.
Your life,
well,
your
I
whole
to
life.
I lived through it, so I might as well make a joke of it now.
Your life is a cartoon.
I love it so much. I love it so much.
Wow.
The Brea Improv. It's called Any Questions. Tonight at 8, two shows Friday night, two shows Saturday, two shows Sunday. There's no better way to spend the weekend leading into Halloween than this. Tickets are available for only $30 to $35 at BreaImprov.com. We
and
don't
I
have you on.
Not
yes.
To be in the metal bikini, okay?
Okay, that's a deal. We have you on too infrequently, Miss Fisher. Thanks so much for the time today.
All right. Thank you, guys. Dang awesome.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
world. Who's in the neighborhood?
20 minutes till 10.
Woohoo! Ding dong. Who's in the neighborhood?
Again, that is Macklemore and Ryan Lewis here on K-Rock.
Did I walk into the wrong studio? Is this a big boy show?
It is, but you did not walk into the wrong studio.
We're just playing whatever Carson Daly gives us now. You know how that works. All right. 9:41.
If it comes under the door in a CD, we'll put it in.
Time for the showbiz beat here on a Thursday.
What the hell is going on?
What's going on?
It's a great question.
That's why I asked it.
No answer.
Just generally, what's going on?
Hey, you know what is coming up? It may not be going on, but it's coming up. Halloween.
Right.
I don't know if you've heard about this or not. By the way, once again, I'd like to register a major complaint. Another show has gone by without any Halloween spooks.
Yes.
What an accomplishment.
Hell? How close do we have to be to Halloween? Get a little Halloween spooks?
I'm thinking week of. Week of.
We are very...
This is the week of.
Week of.
We're less than a week away from Halloween.
I'm saying the Monday and the Tuesday, and maybe the Wednesday.
For F's sake.
The problem is, Ralph, is that we're very busy doing other things, and that's something that we kind of squeeze in when we have an extra minute. Today's show was so jam-packed, we didn't have a minute to spare.
Huh.
We had a lot of guests, a lot of things that we needed to do.
I know it's tragic, but we just didn't have time.
We had time to talk about Steve freaking Carver. We got time for Halloween spooks.
Oh, about the World Series?
Or Tim McCarver, whatever his name is. Tim McCarver. We had time to talk about him and the World Series.
Right.
Right, because that's timely and topical and needed to be addressed.
Oh, you know what else is timely and topical? Halloween!
We'll play it tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll have time.
You better.
We won't.
What?
We're not going to have time tomorrow, I guarantee.
All right, well, then I'll give up an entire showbiz beat.
What's going on?
No, we'll have time tomorrow.
Sit back
and
relax.
What's going on with Halloween that you wanted to talk about?
Halloween is the time where people throw a lot of parties. None better, in my opinion, than the annual LACMA News Costume Ball.
Ooh.
What's the matter, Bean?
Where is it? I don't think I can go.
Stop it. It's at LACMA.
Stop it.
No, I'm LACMA intolerant.
Come on!
Los Angeles County Museum of Art has a big Halloween party every year. It's the 9th annual party this year. And they usually have themes. Last year, it was inspired by the work of Tim Burton. This year, it's legendary filmmaker Stanley Kubrick. So not only do you go to an amazing party, which is, you see some of the best costumes anywhere at this thing, but also there's cocktails. The event is 21+, but you get to see props and annotated scripts and set models and costumes, all from the prolific career of legendary director Stanley Kubrick. Really sort of just even the other directors hold him up in high regard. He is one of the icons of the industry. If you're a fan of Clockwork Orange or The Shining or 2001 A Space Odyssey, you're going to want to attend. You can go to lacma.org/Kubrick Ball, or you can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. The ninth caller, in honor of the 9th annual LACMA Muse Costume Ball, will win a pair of passes to the event. Call now.
Have a blast.
And you should have a blast.
Have a blast.
I recommend that highly, having a blast. Donald Trump, I heard you guys talking to Donald Trump earlier.
Bag of hot air.
No one really surprised that his bombshell turned out to be a complete bust. But some people, angrier than others.
Yeah.
Even the right is upset. Blogger Michelle Malkin said, Donald Trump is a clown who is not a friend of conservatism. She's about as right-wing as they get. If you saw Stephen Colbert last night. He countered Trump's offer to write him a check for $1 million from his own Colbert Super PAC.
Okay.
If he gets to teabag Donald Trump. Which I thought was a generous offer. But it has to happen by 5 o'clock on the 31st.
Sure, so sure.
We'll have to wait and see whether Donald accepts or not. Rumor has it Lamar Odom is done with his marriage.
What a surprise.
Now, this comes from Star Magazine, so take it for what it's worth. But he is quoted as having said to friends he cannot deal with the cameras anymore that follow him and his wife around for that freaking reality show.
He seemed to always hate that.
He is tired of the struggles to conceive a child with his barren yeti of a wife and the involvement of her momager, Kris Jenner, in all things that they say and do. And he's ready to pull the plug on the marriage.
Like any story, we have to guess.
We do have to guess.
Doesn't this all ring true? Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Not to mention the fact he's getting a second lease on life in the NBA. He's getting a chance to come back to Los Angeles and play for the Clippers. He was a bust last year.
Yeah. Out of the NBA.
Out of shape, out of work. He has a second chance here. I bet he's got a lot to focus on that is
it's very distracting to live in that world with those people.
Right. Sure. And by the way, trying to make a baby with Chloe is not something any man would look forward to.
No.
That's a chore, right?
That is. You got
to
put
weed
on that
whacking
spelunking helmet and you have to tie a rope around your waist so you don't get lost.
And then you got Chris Jenner probably in the bedroom directing him. Nobody needs that.
You don't. No. Only bad things can come from that.
Do you trust them?
I don't.
No.
Megan Fox has her panties in a wad.
All right.
It's not in the good way, though.
Oh.
It's in the agitated way. She is upset that a photo on a parody website called Celebrity Jihad shows Megan's head on another totally naked woman's body. It's all part of a spoof talking about how Megan has automatically lost all the weight from her from her pregnancy. She had a son 3 weeks ago.
That's funny.
And it was a parody story.
That's so hot.
And Megan Fox's people have sent a cease and desist letter to the site saying the fake photo must be taken down immediately or they'll sue.
Really?
Yeah. A representative for the parody website says, "While we appreciate Megan Fox's concern for her image, we find it hard to believe that a woman who spent two Transformers movies bent over with her breasts pressed together could have her reputation damaged by a blatantly satirical website."
That's a pretty good response.
It sounds like they're not willing to pull the plug on that. And Tom Cruise is suing Life and Style and In Touch magazines for claiming that he has abandoned his daughter, Suri.
That's alleged.
Those two magazines both had cover stories claiming that he hadn't seen his baby girl in 44 days.
That's alleged.
And so Tom is suing both magazines for what he is calling a lie.
That's alleged.
A vicious lie, according to his lawyer, Burt Fields. $50 million. $50 million. That's more than $1 million for every day Tom Cruise has abandoned his daughter.
That's alleged.
Oh, that's right. That's alleged, yeah. I don't believe that. I think Tom Cruise is the perfect dad, and everything he does is wonderful.
He's seen her every day.
And he's seen her
every
day.
I think he's never out of sight.
That's right.
I think he has. I heard he had her surgically implanted into his body so they could be even closer.
Okay, that went weird.
I think you're going to get sued now, too. So how do these news organizations get away with a story like that? Do they just attribute it to sources say or insiders remark or something like that, and then they go, well, we're not going to give up our sources, but that's what they told us.
I didn't read the story, so I don't know where they said they had that information, but
that's alleged.
It's alleged, according to us. So $50 million he's suing for.
According to us, it's just not true.
It isn't true. He sees her. He's seen her. Before she was born, he saw her. He used to spend time with her somehow.
He gave birth to her.
That's
she
right.
actually came out of him.
Yes.
That's how involved he
he's
is
with
in
her right now.
Life.
He is. And Xenu also strapped everyone to a volcano.
That's alleged.
No, that's not alleged. That happened.
Oh.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Marion Ross is 84 years old today. She was Mrs. Cunningham on the old Happy Days TV program. Bobby Knight, legendary Hall of Fame college basketball coach, is 72. Nancy Cartwright, voice of Bart Simpson on The Simpsons, is 55. I misspoke last hour when I said I believed that she was the only person who did one voice on The Simpsons.
Right.
Turns out I had the wrong Simpson child. It is Yeardley Smith, who plays Lisa Simpson, who only does just that one voice on The Simpsons. Nancy Cartwright does several voices.
You should have asked me. I know a lot about that because I'm a voice on, you know, Family Guy. I do that pretty much regularly.
Pretty sure that's me. I'm the one who does the voices on Family Guy.
Oh.
And I'm suing you for $50 million.
That's alleged.
For your lie. Adam Goldberg is 42. Chad Smith, drummer for Red Hot Chili Peppers, is 51. And Katy Perry celebrates her 28th birthday today.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good deal right there.
Yep.
John Mayer. What's he got that I don't got?
Everything.
Yeah, including Katy Perry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, jam-packed. Tomorrow's going to be a full program. We have John
Stockwell. I think we have to start tomorrow's show in about a half an hour, by the way, if we're going to squeeze it all in.
We have John Stockwell, who's written a book called...
Why don't you stop that showbiz music there? It's annoying everyone. There we go. That's much better.
Better?
Yeah.
John Stockwell, who wrote a book called Team Six, The Raid on Osama Bin Laden. We have Cousin Sal, who's taking a look.
There hasn't been a book on that in like 4 weeks.
I know.
It's great.
Cousin Sal's NFL picks. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. We have Joshua Jackson.
Woo!
Talking about Fringe. We have Robert Kirkman.
Wow.
Creator of and talking about The Walking Dead.
We have Robert Kingman about his movie Walking Dead.
Come on. That was one time, and it was in Vegas, and I was a little tipsy.
I think we should play that
tomorrow. That was a long time ago, though. We've gotten past that.
It was a good time, and it was remembered fondly by all.
So we're talking about The Walking Dead tomorrow, and we also have RZA.
Come on.
Come on. talking about the man with the iron fist. So that's tomorrow as well. How are we going to do all of that in one show?
I don't know.
Starting to happen.